Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
Back pain and stiffness mean mornings rough.
Pain made it tough to sleep until I started Cosentyx.
Cosentyx secukinumab is the number one prescribed treatment for adults that targets IL-17A, a molecule that may play a role in inflammation that contributes to ankylosing spondyloarthritis or non-radiographic axial spondyloarthritis, two types of inflammatory arthritis of the spine. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com. Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
I got real relief with Cosentyx.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Matter Private Network.
On News Talk.
Significant mortgage lender is to cap the size of new home loans at 2.5 times a couple's income. ICS Mortgages, which has increased its rates already twice this year, has told brokers that couples will need a joint income of at least €100,000 to qualify for a mortgage. What does it mean for the Irish mortgage market, which is already the second most expensive mortgage provider in the Eurozone? Well, we're joined by Charlie Weston, personal finance editor of the Irish Independent. Charlie, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Will you talk to me about ICS and where they fit in the picture of things? I mean, how significant a lender are they in home ownership?
Yeah, ICS goes back, Pat, a long time in this country. 1864 is when it was founded. It was a building society for civil servants, essentially, to help them build their homes. It ended up in the hands of Bank of Ireland. But when Bank of Ireland needed to be bailed out, a condition of the bailout was that it sold off ICS Mortgages. So it sold it to this company called Delusk, run by Fergal McGrath. And so it's been operating mainly in the buy-to-let initially market, you know, funding people who wanted to buy a property for rental. And then it moved into the mortgage residential space. It's what's called a non-bank lender, Pat, so it doesn't have deposits. It's funded by the market. And it's an important player because it's very competitive. These small players have come in, you know, around the time that we're losing Ulster Bank and KBC, around the time that they started, you know, agitating to move, they've come in here, the likes of Finance Ireland and ICS Mortgages, and they're offering really good rates and innovations as well. And they've put it up to the main banks, really, to keep them competitive. So it's a pity, you know, that now ICS are kind of very much scaling back their lending. They're restricting heavily their lending, and very, very few people will qualify for their loans. So, under the new conditions.
So the loans that Ulster and KBC have on their books, have they just been seamlessly transferred?
Pretty much, yeah. I think the competition body missed a trick here by not imposing better, more stringent conditions. Essentially, the big three, and the big two essentially, Bank of Ireland and AIB, have gobbled up, you know, the mortgages, the mortgage books of KBC and Ulster Bank, and they've fattened themselves up now. They have a Bank of Ireland bought the KBC mortgages, and AIB has the trackers from Ulster. Permanent TSB is getting a lot of the Ulster Bank business and taking some of the branches as well. And that's fattened them up. So, you know, we needed some players to keep them competitive. So these non-bank lenders were very important because they're very good rates. KBC and Bank of Ireland, remember, Pat, were tended to be very innovative and tended to always have better rates than the likes of,
now,
say,
KBC, you know, significantly did not have a network of branches. I mean, this was one of the elements that maybe kept their cost base down. Ulster did have a branch network. So I'm wondering, how is it that ICS is competitive? Is it on the same basis that basically they get money in, they add a margin, they put money out, and it's a very straightforward and less costly operation than the banks who have all these overheads?
Precisely, Pat, there's elements of that in it, all right. They essentially operate through brokers, so they don't have branches. You're right, Ulster Bank has still 68 branches, KBC, 12 hubs, but the likes of non-bank lenders like the ICS and Finance Ireland and Avant Money, which have been really, really good value, they've come in here operating through brokers. Now, they have a different model. The two main ones there, the two main non-bank lenders, Finance Ireland and ICS, they would raise money in the market, whereas the banks have very cheap access to deposits. They are awash with household savings, absolutely awash with them. They have so much coming at them, they don't need to pay any interest to people who are saving, and that's how they fund their mortgages. So the problem with the non-bank lenders is, and this was predicted by the Central Bank in May, as soon as the market turned and market rates start going up, which we've seen with the wholesale rates are going up and the European Central Bank has put up its rates by 0.5%, all of a sudden it's expensive for these non-bank lenders because they need to go out to the market to get funds, whereas the likes of AIB and Bank of Ireland have a ready supply of householders' savings, and they can just hand that on then. But they do have a legacy of higher costs, yeah. You're right.
So what are ICS doing in limiting the borrowing by saying you've got to have an income of 100,000 as a couple and your limit is 2.5 times that? So in other words, the most we're going to give you with the deposit of 100 grand is 250,000, which gives you the capacity to buy something up to 350.
Yeah, and they're also saying, Pat, you will need a deposit of at least 20% if you're a first-time buyer. Now, you know, mostly first-time buyers would have a deposit of 10%, and that's what they're allowed under the Central Bank rules.
The deposit here would be of the value of the house. If it's 350,000, it's going to be 70 grand. Fifth, in other words, yeah. So
yeah,
a bigger deposit.
This is quite restrictive, Pat. There's very few first-time buyers who will meet these criteria. You know, you want to be very wealthy, in a very good job, or have a very big inheritance to meet these criteria. The other thing is, as well, self-employed, they're very, very restrictive on what they lend to the self-employed. They're also, for all the borrowers, they're saying we're not going to count bonuses or any variable pay. There's a whole list. There's a list of about 8 criteria which are quite restrictive. And the way it was put to me by broker Michael Dowling was, look, if every lender did this, the market would just shut down. So it's essentially they're just temporarily shutting up shop, Pat, essentially. And that's great for AIB and Bank of Ireland, but not good for the market.
Yeah, I'm just wondering to what extent it will actually stop people being in the market who were depending on the likes of ICS for their borrowing. And if they can't qualify for the borrowing, does it take potential purchasers out of the market? Might that have an impact on prices? I don't know, because supply is still so constricted.
A lot of people on to me this morning worried, Pat, about, you know, they're in the process of getting approval, or they're in the process, they have approval in the process of buying a house, and, you know, they're very worried because basically ICS have said these changes are effective immediately. They take effect from August August the 9th, getting confused here. That was Tuesday. And, you know, unless you're at final sign-off point, the new criteria will apply to you. So it's very worrying. And if you have a broker, get onto them. Unfortunately, people are onto me saying, can't get the broker, he or she is on holiday. So it's a real worry. So you need to go through a broker, really. You know, I think it's always good advice to have a broker, but of all the times to do this, this is not the time to do it. You know yourself, every second person you ring at the moment is on a beach somewhere.
Yeah,
you know?
And that's why they do it. That's why banks and other organisations make their announcements. You know, you'll find the Friday of a bank holiday weekend, you get stuff snuck out there. So here we have a fairly significant announcement, and it's put out in the middle of the silly season. The downside for them is that we're making a fuss of it and you're making a fuss of it, so they will not escape uninspected by the public eye.
Yeah, you know, and it is important to make a fuss of it. I mean, this is a lender, ICS, are telling me, they've finally put out a statement today after they didn't respond to me yesterday. They're saying by the end of this year, they should have a market share of about 8%. So not huge, Pat, but not insignificant either. So an important player, but more important was that they were competitive and they were keep putting manners on the big banks. So, you know, all around, not a good news. And you're right, it's a pity they would do this in August as well.
Yeah, maybe they're just trying to cherry pick the better class of customer, the more, well-heeled. Maybe that's what they're at. Anyway, Charlie, for the moment, thank you very much for joining us. Personal finance editor with the Irish Independent. Listening to that, Rebecca Moynihan, Labour Party spokesperson on housing. Rebecca, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
What do you make of this development?
Well, I think it's very worrying, and it's particularly worrying if other banks begin to follow suit, because we already have a perfect storm in the area of housing. We have an increasing population and we have limited supply that are coming onto the market. We've increasing rents that are up over 13% from last year. And what we're seeing here is essentially a credit crunch happening. And since the crash of 2008, where construction activity essentially ceased, we've been dealing with the after effects of that. And we haven't had a functioning credit and market system. And the impact that that's having on real people is that we're seeing that like half the, for example, between 2004 and 2019, the number of 25 to 34 year olds who own their own home have halved. They're now trapped in a rental economy where rents, particularly in Dublin, are at over €2,000. That's not affordable for very many people. So we're locking more and more people who traditionally would have been homeowners out of the homeowner market. We have people who traditionally would have been in social housing now competing in the private rented sector. What that's going to do is that then attracts more people into buy-to-lets, but that's very much concentrated at a top end of people who can afford that. And it's very similar to when the crash happened. We saw house prices crash.
Yeah,
but actually,
I mean, you're giving us a tutorial in the market, and we've done that so many times on the programme. The question is, what impact will this particular decision by ICS have on the market, on the ambitions of people? For example, that's it for me now with a mortgage, civil service job, just can't get near the housing market, education and savings all for naught, says Kieran. Presumably he intended to get a loan from ICS with obviously another income in tow, but it doesn't amount to €50,000. So, I mean, what do you say to ICS? They're the people who are, if you like, within their right to do so, I suppose, changing their own rules.
Absolutely. But we need to see, so what can the government response be? Essentially, the government response is we see things like the local authority home loan system, which was launched to much fanfare. 25% of those loans have been impacted. It is costing the state a huge amount in terms of half payments and pushing up rents within the private rented sector. So the state needs to consider themselves as essentially could be a banking force within the mortgage market too. Also, the UK have successfully piloted things like a rent to buy scheme, and we trialled that a little bit at the time of the crash, where you saw local authorities.
You can't separate this out from politics, Rebecca, because you know that the reason international lenders don't come in, two reasons. One is that we're a relatively small market, but still, you know, at the time of the boom, a lot of the players came in and did good business here. But the other reason is that if they take the security on a house, for instance, and then someone stops paying, they could be 10 years trying to get possession of the house. And all the political parties, particularly on the left, say on no account can you evict people from their houses when they don't pay their mortgages, perhaps for years on end. So the state is going to say, and you as politicians would say, well, we're not going to be the lender, because if we do, we can't get rid of them either. And if we do throw people out who don't bother to pay their mortgage, we'll get it in the neck at the next election. It's not a popular thing to do, to become an evictor. So none of these things are disconnected. Do you know what I mean? You can make all the statements you like about what should and shouldn't be done. But the real reason banks aren't in here, besides the local banks, is because they have no security, really, on a very big asset upon which they've given a loan.
Absolutely. And I think we saw at the time of the crash, people getting into mortgage distress and being unable to pay. And then a mortgage to rent or mortgage to rent system was brought in. And I think a lot of people who were in that system then, you know, made, you know, good faith payments towards living in their own home. And I think people who then transferred over to that, there's a difference. And I do agree, people who are willfully not paying for 10 years, and we've seen media reports of that this year, I think that is a significant problem. And I do think that it pushes off people from becoming involved in the Irish mortgage market. And essentially, the rest of us are paying for people like that. And so I have no sympathy where people are willfully not paying for 10 years. I do have sympathy for people who are running into difficulty for paying for their mortgages. And I think where possible, we should try and keep people in their own homes, but as long as it's met by a good faith argument. But I definitely think where you have people who are willfully not paying, I think that's a different story. And I don't think anybody should stand over something like that, because it impacts on other people and yeah. other mortgage
As I say,
holders.
If we had half a dozen new lenders in here, whether they're the new digital lenders, you know, they'd be reluctant to, they might loan you the money for a car because it's not a huge, huge investment, but they'll certainly stand back a bit from giving you $500,000 for a house for fear that the security is worth absolutely nothing. Look, Rebecca, thank you very much for joining us. Rebecca Moynihan, Labour Party spokesperson on housing.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Back pain and stiffness mean mornings rough.
Pain made it tough to sleep until I started Cosentyx.
Cosentyx secukinumab is the number one prescribed treatment for adults that targets IL-17A, a molecule that may play a role in inflammation that contributes to ankylosing spondyloarthritis or non-radiographic axial spondyloarthritis, two types of inflammatory arthritis of the spine. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or cosentyx.com. Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
I got real relief with Cosentyx.